Senatsverwaltung für Bildung, Jugend und Familie im Land Berlin. Prüfung zum Erwerb der erweiterten Berufsbildungsreife und des mittleren Schulabschlusses im Fach Englisch 2018. Welcome to your listening test. This test has got 4 parts. Please take your worksheets now. Listening Part 1. Short messages. You are going to hear 2 short messages. You will hear the recording twice. There are 4 questions in this part. 2 questions for each message. Look at the pictures and then listen to the recording. Choose the correct picture and put a tick in the right box. You now have time to read the questions and look at the pictures. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task. Message 1.
The National Weather Service in Sullivan has issued a tornado warning for Lafayette County in south-central Wisconsin. The National Weather Service Doppler radar has indicated a tornado near the city of Benton. It's still 8 miles from the city limits, and it's moving east at 15 miles an hour. It's estimated that the tornado will reach the town in half an hour at around 6:20 p.m. Charlesburg and neighboring communities can expect the tornado a little later at 6:50. The safest place to be during a tornado is in the basement. Get under a workbench or any other piece of sturdy furniture. If no basement is available, seek shelter on the lowest floor of your building and get into an interior room or closet there. Put as many walls as possible between you and the tornado, and always stay away from windows. If you are in mobile homes or vehicles, evacuate them and get inside a substantial shelter. If no shelter is available, lie flat in the nearest ditch or other low spot and cover your head with your hands. Please report hail or strong winds to the National Weather Service by calling 877-633-6772.
Message 2.
Hello, Ms. Flynn. This is Jamila Bagal calling from the Employment Agency here in Liverpool. Your profile matches a position a local company is offering. They have a job as an app designer vacant in the city centre starting on 1st of June. This startup company develops apps for sports workouts and training plans, which also comprises advice on a healthy diet and stress reduction by doing yoga. Don't worry, you do not need to be an expert in any of these fields. Your job would exclusively cover the programming, the technical aspects of the training apps. If you're interested, come and see me. My office hours are Mondays and Wednesdays between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. On Thursdays, I'm available from 9 to 5. I'm not in the office on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Bye for now.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time. Message 1.
The National Weather Service in Sullivan has issued a tornado warning for Lafayette County in south-central Wisconsin. The National Weather Service Doppler radar has indicated a tornado near the city of Benton. It's still 8 miles from the city limits, and it's moving east at 15 miles an hour. It's estimated that the tornado will reach the town in half an hour at around 6:20 p.m. Charlesburg and neighboring communities can expect the tornado a little later at 6:50. The safest place to be during a tornado is in the basement. get under a workbench or any other piece of sturdy furniture. If no basement is available, seek shelter on the lowest floor of your building and get into an interior room or closet there. Put as many walls as possible between you and the tornado, and always stay away from windows. If you are in mobile homes or vehicles, evacuate them and get inside a substantial shelter. If no shelter is available, lie flat in the nearest ditch or other low spot and cover your head with your hands. Please report hail or strong winds to the National Weather Service by calling 877-633-6772.
Message 2.
Hello, Ms. Flynn. This is Jamila Bagal calling from the Employment Agency here in Liverpool. Your profile matches a position a local company is offering. They have a job as an app designer vacant in the city centre starting on 1st of June. This startup company develops apps for sports workouts and training plans, which also comprises advice on a healthy diet and stress reduction by doing yoga. Don't worry, you do not need to be an expert in any of these fields. Your job would exclusively cover the programming, the technical aspects of the training apps. If you're interested, come and see me. My office hours are Mondays and Wednesdays between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. On Thursdays, I'm available from 9 to 5. I'm not in the office on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Bye for now.
This is the end of Listening Part 1. Listening Part 2. Radio ads. Please note, you do not need to understand every word to do this task. You are going to hear 4 radio ads. You will hear the recording twice. Read the slogans below first, then listen to the recording. For each ad, choose the correct slogan from the list, A to F, and put a tick in the right box. There is only one correct slogan for each ad. 2 slogans can't be matched. You now have time to read the slogans. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
You've got to love the holidays. Hey, that's when you really clean up on the latest and greatest high-tech stuff, and you get to throw away the old used-up electronics, right? Wrong. That old gear may not work anymore, but tossing it in the trash doesn't do anybody any good. Instead, why not fire up that new computer and log on to eCycleMo.org? Then locate the eCycle Missouri site near you and recycle all your worn-out electronics. Yeah, recycle it. eCycle Missouri would love to have all your old discarded e-stuff. Computers, cell phones, MP3 players, digital cameras, DVD players, gaming systems, TVs, all of it. Go ahead, log on to eCycleMo.org. That's eCycleMo.org and get rid of all your worn-out electronics without putting it somewhere to be dug up by your great-grandkids someday. You know you're going to get a lot of cool new stuff during the holidays, so why not plan now on how to get rid of your old stuff? It's easy to e-cycle at eCycleMo.org.
What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? Instead of flying to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? Like a village in Botswana or a tiny island in the Pacific where needs are easy to see? What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I'm standing in one of Maryland's most beautiful parks, a great place for us to play, swim, camp, and fish.
Okay, first base is the tree, second base is the rock, and third base is the log.
But for how long? The governor has tried to sell public land to developers behind your back.
Okay, first base is the shovel, second base is the truck, and third base is the hard hat.
And this year, politicians are diverting 75% of dedicated land conservation funds to unrelated programs.
Okay, first base is the bulldozer, second base is the pipe, and third base is the stop sign.
Don't let the politicians sell out Maryland's parks and natural spaces. Go to SaveMarylandLands.org. That's SaveMarylandLands.org.
Okay. First base is the gas station, second base is the convenience store, third base is the bank. I'll forget it. Let's just go play video games.
This message was brought to you by Partners for Open Space.
Every summer, millions of teens work in summer jobs, but there are certain jobs that are off limits for young people. Where you work and how many hours you can work depend on your age. So know the rules and work safe. For more information, call the U.S. Department of Labor's toll-free helpline at 1-866-4-US-WAGE or visit youthrules.dol.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Labor.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
You've got to love the holidays. Hey, that's when you really clean up on the latest and greatest high-tech stuff, and you get to throw away the old used-up electronics, right? Wrong. That old gear may not work anymore, but tossing it in the trash doesn't do anybody any good. Instead, why not fire up that new computer and log on to eCycleMo.org? Then locate the eCycle Missouri site near you and recycle all your worn-out electronics. Yeah, recycle it. eCycle Missouri would love to have all your old discarded e-stuff. Computers, cell phones, MP3 players, digital cameras, DVD players, gaming systems, TVs, all of it. Go ahead, log on to eCycleMo.org. That's eCycleMo.org and get rid of all your worn-out electronics without putting it somewhere to be dug up by your great-grandkids someday. You know you're going to get a lot of cool new stuff during the holidays, so why not plan now on how to get rid of your old stuff? It's easy to e-cycle at eCycleMo.org.
What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? Instead of flying to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? Like a village in Botswana or a tiny island in the Pacific where needs are easy to see? What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I'm standing in one of Maryland's most beautiful parks, a great place for us to play, swim, camp, and fish.
Okay, first base is the tree, second base is the rock, and third base is the log.
But for how long? The governor has tried to sell public land to developers behind your back.
Okay, first base is the shovel, second base is the truck, and third base is the hard hat.
And this year, politicians are diverting 75% of dedicated land conservation funds to unrelated programs.
Okay, first base is the bulldozer, second base is the pipe, and third base is the stop sign.
Don't let the politicians sell out Maryland's parks and natural spaces. Go to SaveMarylandLands.org. That's SaveMarylandLands.org.
Okay. First base is the gas station, second base is the convenience store, third base is the bank. I'll forget it. Let's just go play video games.
This message was brought to you by Partners for Open Space.
Every summer, millions of teens work in summer jobs, but there are certain jobs that are off limits for young people. Where you work and how many hours you can work depend on your age. So know the rules and work safe. For more information, call the U.S. Department of Labor's toll-free helpline at 1-866-4-US-WAIT or visit youthrules.dol.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Labor.
This is the end of Listening Part 2. Listening Part 3. Unusual jobs. You are going to hear three people talking about their unusual jobs. You will hear the recording twice. Complete the table below. Use 1 to 5 words or numbers for each answer. You now have time to look at the table. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Blime of Kissimmee, Florida, and my work is to collect golf balls that have fallen into water. As a golf ball diver, it's my job to wade through the ponds of water on golf courses and gather as many of the lost golf balls as I can. By doing this, we can make money. We clean the balls and sell them for half price. Another reason for doing this is that the ponds don't fill up with golf balls. To some, I look a bit like a sea monster when I'm at work. I wear a thick wetsuit and carry 45 pounds of scuba gear and a net full of golf balls hanging from my neck. On a typical day, I find up to 5,000 sunken golf balls. You see, the worse you play golf, the more money I earn, usually between 5 and 10 cents a ball. Some golf ball divers even make $100,000 a year. Still, the job is not as easy as it sounds. We golf ball divers face plenty of dangers, from pesticides and fertilizers to snakes and alligators.
My name is Betty Lyons, and it may sound strange, but I smell things for a living. I am an odor judge at Hilltop Labs in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I sniff armpits, feet, cat litter, and more. I carry out tests every day, judging smells on a scale of 1 to 10. After all, somebody has to make sure that perfumes are effective or that toothpaste keeps your breath fresh. To make a good living, you need a lot of practice. The more experienced you are, the more you earn. The salary in this field ranges from $19,000 to $52,000 a year. I began my career over 35 years ago, and I still put my nose to a monthly test to see if my nose is still able to do the job. The human nose can distinguish thousands of different smells, but we odor judges have sensitive noses like no others. By the way, most of my colleagues are women, since we seem to have an even better sense of smell than men.
I'm Ken Darnell, and I milk thousands of snakes all across the American South. Now, why would anyone want to be a snake milker and take poison from vipers, cobras, and rattlesnakes? Well, medical research labs use the powerful snake poison, for example, to make medicines to treat high blood pressure and to make life-saving drugs for snake bites. Snake poison is hard to get, but I have a simple setup. I use a long hook to pick up the snakes and a glass tube to collect the poison. I don't wear any gloves, though. I just use my bare hands to hold the snake's head and gently squeeze the deadly juices out. It's a risky business, and you earn around $2,500 a month. But I don't do it for the money. I do it to save lives. You're probably wondering what it takes to be a snake milker. Most snake milkers do have a degree in biology, but this is not a must. In any case, you've got to be brave and know how to handle snakes safely.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Blime of Kissimmee, Florida, and my work is to collect golf balls that have fallen into water. As a golf ball diver, it's my job to wade through the ponds of water on golf courses and gather as many of the lost golf balls as I can. By doing this, we can make money. We clean the balls and sell them for half price. Another reason for doing this is that the ponds don't fill up with golf balls. To some, I look a bit like a sea monster when I'm at work. I wear a thick wetsuit and carry 45 pounds of scuba gear and a net full of golf balls hanging from my neck. On a typical day, I find up to 5,000 sunken golf balls. You see, the worse you play golf, the more money I earn, usually between 5 and 10 cents a ball. Some golf ball divers even make $100,000 a year. Still, the job is not as easy as it sounds. We golf ball divers face plenty of dangers, from pesticides and fertilizers to snakes and alligators.
My name is Betty Lyons, and it may sound strange, but I smell things for a living. I am an odor judge at Hilltop Labs in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I sniff armpits, feet, cat litter, and more. I carry out tests every day, judging smells on a scale of 1 to 10. After all, somebody has to make sure that perfumes are effective or that toothpaste keeps your breath fresh. To make a good living, you need a lot of practice. The more experienced you are, the more you earn. The salary in this field ranges from $19,000 to $52,000 a year. I began my career over 35 years ago, and I still put my nose to a monthly test to see if my nose is still able to do the job. The human nose can distinguish thousands of different smells, but we odor judges have sensitive noses like no others. By the way, most of my colleagues are women, since we seem to have an even better sense of smell than men.
I'm Ken Darnell, and I milk thousands of snakes all across the American South. Now, why would anyone want to be a snake milker and take poison from vipers, cobras, and rattlesnakes? Well, medical research labs use the powerful snake poison, for example, to make medicines to treat high blood pressure and to make life-saving drugs for snake bites. Snake poison is hard to get, but I have a simple setup. I use a long hook to pick up the snakes and a glass tube to collect the poison. I don't wear any gloves, though. I just use my bare hands to hold the snake's head and gently squeeze the deadly juices out. It's a risky business, and you earn around $2,500 a month. But I don't do it for the money. I do it to save lives. You're probably wondering what it takes to be a snake milker. Most snake milkers do have a degree in biology, but this is not a must. In any case, you've got to be brave and know how to handle snakes safely.
This is the end of Listening, Part 3. Listening Part 4. Surveillance at School. You are going to hear a radio show. There are four people in the show. Jamila Burke, the host, Liz Blakemore, Kieran Murphy, and John Stone. You will hear the recording twice. Read the statements below first, then listen to the recording. Put a tick in the box next to the correct statement. Only one statement is correct in each case. You now have time to read the statements. You will hear the recording now. Please listen carefully and do the task.
Good evening. I'm Jamila Burke. Welcome to School Talk. And welcome to the surveillance state, a place where you're caught on camera at least 300 times a day. North Korea, maybe. Or China. Believe it or not, it's Britain. Closed-circuit television, or CCTV, seems to be everywhere, even in schools. That's what we'll be discussing today, surveillance in schools. My youngest guest is 16-year-old Liz Blakemore, a secondary school student from York.
Hi!
Kieran Murphy, who teaches maths and computer science at Liz's school.
Hello, everybody!
And John Stone from Big Brother Watch. Big Brother Watch is an anti-surveillance activist group.
Nice to be here.
Kieran, now the comprehensive school where you teach is a safe, trouble-free school, yet there are about 70 video cameras installed there. Do you think your school needs so many cameras?
Well, I think that our school is a safe place because of the fact that we have so many cameras. The cameras were first used at the entrances and exits to our school because intruders were coming onto the school grounds, harassing and robbing pupils. The cameras were very effective at stopping that problem, so we started putting them up in the classrooms as well to protect expensive equipment like projectors and smart boards.
And you feel comfortable in the classroom with all these cameras watching your every move?
Believe me, you get used to being watched. For me, there are mostly benefits. Surveillance teaches students and teachers to self-regulate, to do what you are supposed to do. The disciplinary power of this kind of surveillance is very strong, which of course reduces problems in the classroom, which means that you can get on with the job. Our exam results have actually improved in the last 4 years, and we think it is the cameras that have helped us achieve this.
Sounds great. But, Liz, as a student, how do you feel about being constantly watched? Doesn't it bother you?
Well, there were also CCTV cameras in my primary school, so in a way I'm kind of used to having them, you know, in the schoolyard or in the classroom. But I do not like the fact that cameras have now been installed in the toilets. They're not in the cubicles, of course, but in the areas where the wash basins are. When we girls wanted to have a private chat without the boys listening, we used to meet in the girls' toilets, but now there are also cameras there, so there's absolutely no place where you can be yourself.
And what was the reason for installing cameras there?
I think it was because the water pipes were constantly being blocked. On a few occasions, toilet paper had been stuffed into the sinks, pranks, yeah, and stuff like that.
John, seeing that you are totally against surveillance, you must be very concerned.
Indeed I am. I'm very concerned about these privacy issues. But there is another aspect of this surveillance which we still haven't mentioned. What about the basic values we want to teach young people, like honesty and trust? If we're constantly monitoring them, it's like telling them that we don't trust them. We don't say, tell me what happened. We say, I'll check the CCTV. And this is the point. Students don't get the chance to own up to their actions, to be honest about what they have done. I think this has a huge implication on the way we interact with each other, how we communicate with each other on an everyday basis. And I think this constant surveillance interferes with the relationship between teachers and students. Isn't that sad?
It certainly is. And how do parents feel about all this surveillance?
The feedback from parents about CCTV cameras has been extremely positive because they're so concerned about their children's safety. But isn't this very safety at stake here? What about data protection? These days, people are willing to sacrifice all their privacy for their alleged safety.
And it's not only cameras we're talking about. At my school, we also have biometric technology. My thumb is scanned every morning and afternoon to record when I enter or leave the school building. And if I'm absent or late, a text message is automatically sent to my parents. What I don't mind, though, is finger scans being used when we want to borrow books from the library or to get lunch in the canteen. That even makes things easier. I don't have cards to forget anymore.
So biometric finger scanning tracks everything a kid does throughout the school day. Isn't this another form of surveillance, Kieran?
Definitely. But for me, the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. For example, it does away with cash so that students who are entitled to free meals in the canteen are treated in the same way as those students who pay for their food. So nobody is stigmatised anymore.
Well, about 50% of schools in England are now using biometric technology. But still, there are a lot of parents who do not want their children's data to be taken and stored. You never know what it will be used for in the future. So, some parents opt out of the system and their children will have to deal with the consequences. This can cause a lot of problems.
Liz, I see you want to comment on that.
Yeah. If your parents say no to biometric technology, it could mean that you won't even get lunch in the canteen. Jenny, who is a classmate of mine, had to wait for weeks into the new term before the school found an alternative arrangement for her, and just because her parents were against biometric mapping.
So, what's happened to freedom of choice? I think this is a question we should revisit after the break.
You now have time to check your answers before you hear the recording again. Listen to the recording for a second time.
Good evening, I'm Jamila Burke. Welcome to School Talk, and welcome to the surveillance state, a place where you're caught on camera at least 300 times a day. North Korea, maybe, or China. Believe it or not, it's Britain. Closed-circuit television, or CCTV, seems to be everywhere, even in schools. That's what we'll be discussing today, surveillance in schools. My youngest guest is 16-year-old Liz Blakemore, a secondary school student from York.
Hi.
Kieran Murphy, who teaches maths and computer science at Liz's school.
Hello, everybody.
and John Stone from Big Brother Watch. Big Brother Watch is an anti-surveillance activist group.
Nice to be here.
Kieran, now the comprehensive school where you teach is a safe, trouble-free school, yet there are about 70 video cameras installed there. Do you think your school needs so many cameras?
Well, I think that our school is a safe place because of the fact that we have so many cameras. The cameras were first used at the entrances and exits to our school because intruders were coming onto the school grounds, harassing and robbing pupils. The cameras were very effective at stopping that problem, so we started putting them up in the classrooms as well to protect expensive equipment like projectors and smart boards.
And you feel comfortable in the classroom with all these cameras watching your every move?
Believe me, you get used to being watched. For me, there are mostly benefits. Surveillance teaches students and teachers to self-regulate, to do what you are supposed to do. The disciplinary power of this kind of surveillance is very strong, which of course reduces problems in the classroom, which means that you can get on with the job. Our exam results have actually improved in the last 4 years, and we think it is the cameras that have helped us achieve this.
Sounds great. But Liz, as a student, how do you feel about being constantly watched? Doesn't it bother you?
Well, there were also CCTV cameras in my primary school, so in a way I'm kind of used to having them, you know, in the schoolyard or in the classroom. But I do not like the fact that cameras have now been installed in the toilets. They're not in the cubicles, of course, but in the areas where the wash basins are. When we girls wanted to have a private chat without the boys listening, we used to meet in the girls' toilets, but now there are also cameras there, so there's absolutely no place where you can be yourself.
And what was the reason for installing cameras there?
I think it was because the water pipes were constantly being blocked. On a few occasions, toilet paper had been stuffed into the sinks. Pranks, yeah, and stuff like that.
John, seeing that you are totally against surveillance, you must be very concerned.
Indeed I am. I'm very concerned about these privacy issues. But there is another aspect of this surveillance which we still haven't mentioned. What about the basic values we want to teach young people, like honesty and trust? If we're constantly monitoring them, it's like telling them that we don't trust them. We don't say, tell me what happened. We say, I'll check the CCTV. And this is the point. Students don't get the chance to own up to their actions, to be honest about what they have done. I think this has a huge implication on the way we interact with each other, how we communicate with each other on an everyday basis. And I think this constant surveillance interferes with the relationship between teachers and students. Isn't that sad?
It certainly is. And how do parents feel about all this surveillance?
The feedback from parents about CCTV cameras has been extremely positive because they're so concerned about their children's safety. But isn't this very safety at stake here? What about data protection? These days, people are willing to sacrifice all their privacy for their alleged safety.
And it's not only cameras we're talking about. At my school, we also have biometric technology. My thumb is scanned every morning and afternoon to record when I enter or leave the school building. And if I'm absent or late, a text message is automatically sent to my parents. What I don't mind, though, is finger scans being used when we want to borrow books from the library or to get lunch in the canteen. That even makes things easier. I don't have cards to forget anymore.
So biometric finger scanning tracks everything a kid does throughout the school day. Isn't this another form of surveillance, Kieran?
Definitely. But for me, the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. For example, it does away with cash so that students who are entitled to free meals in the canteen are treated in the same way as those students who pay for their food. So nobody is stigmatised anymore.
Well, about 50% of schools in England are now using biometric technology. But still, there are a lot of parents who do not want their children's data to be taken and stored. You never know what it will be used for in the future. So, some parents opt out of the system and their children will have to deal with the consequences. This can cause a lot of problems.
Liz, I see you want to comment on that.
Yeah. If your parents say no to biometric technology, it could mean that you won't even get lunch in the canteen. Jenny, who is a classmate of mine, had to wait for weeks into the new term before the school found an alternative arrangement for her, and just because her parents were against biometric mapping.
So what's happened to freedom of choice? I think this is a question we should revisit after the break.
This is the end of Listening Part 4. Now you have time to copy all your answers onto the final answer sheet. Be careful, please. Don't make any mistakes when you copy your answers. Now hand in all the papers to the teacher, please. This is the end of your listening test.